When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for round 13, 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has caused a little bit of controversy on Twitch. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Yes, very embarrassed, very contrite.
So you should be.
You forget that you're out in the public domain. You know, when I get on my Twitch, say I'm on I've got a Twitch channel. I haven't told the Junk Timers about it, but I play Candy Crush pretty much when I'm not doing the podcast. That's all I'm doing.
Yep, sure. Give it a shout out. It's twitch.com/pagansPaddock. Okay,
yeah,
give it a
exactly.
shout out.
Yeah. And I play Candy Crush, and fucking hell, I am so good at it. Like, if you want to jump on board Junk Timers, it is well worth saying. But the thing that happens in Candy Crush is things get very heated.
Very
like,
tense.
when you make four and it gets a striped candy, I mean, that's fucking, that you go off tap. And then when you get like a lollipop smasher, fucking hell, Michael, I tell you what, the endorphins just flow.
I'm half impressed that you know those references, and half concerned that you know those references, from a man who will regularly say, "I haven't seen that film because I'm an adult." Okay.
Yes.
And you are playing a child's game.
Not playing it, mate. I have seen it and I've researched it for these purposes. I only have Candy Crush on my phone for comedy purposes. Now, occasionally when I'm live streaming, people are throwing questions at me, you know. Fucking, how'd you get that? What's that maneuver? Do you know Mick Malloy? What's Chambo like? And it was when someone asked me what's Chambo like that I got caught out. And I apologize wholeheartedly, mate, because I just got caught up in the moment. And I was being honest, because everyone, it's when you're on the web, everyone's honest. Everyone uses their own name.
Uh-huh.
And it's just an honesty session.
For sure. Even if it's the President of the United States, whatever they write on the internet, you can take that to the bank, mate. That's fair and square.
So when I called you a wanker, I was like saying, like, in a fun way, he's a bit of a wanker. Like, everyone loves a wanker, don't they? Like, when I called you a fuckhead, I thought that it was like, hey, is that fuckhead coming to the party? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I hope so. And, like, when I said you only started supporting Hawthorn once they became a half-decent side in the 2000s, it was just like, it was just a joke. When I said that you went to a public school, I didn't think you'd take it. When I said that you had caught a train on the Craigieburn train line and once went to Broadmeadows, I didn't think people would take that as gospel. You know, when I said you're Australia's Ellen DeGeneres, I didn't think that they would see that for the arsehole that you are. So from the bottom of my heart, mate, I do apologise.
Oh, mate, your words hurt. Your words hurt. I mean, I tell you what.
I didn't realise. I'm sorry.
I mean, when I got back on the train on Broadmeadow Station and said, I'm never fucking coming back here ever again. I love it. I love the Eddie thing. He's like, you know, you can take the boy out of Broadmeadows. It's like, yeah, but Eddie, are you ever going back to Broadmeadows? You're not.
Anyway. You're not if you don't have to.
Detour right there.
Quick question without notice.
Whoa!
Have you ever been as far as Broadmeadows on that train line?
I don't think I have, but
You may have caught that train line if you've gone to the Melbourne show, hashtag no Melbourne show for me.
No Melbourne show for me today.
Or if you're going to the races, which I don't, you're not a race day goer, or the big day out, which I know you well, you've never been to an outdoor concert in your fucking life.
No, I've been to a couple of big day outs. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, yeah.
Chamber, fuck.
I think I went.
I'm learning.
I think I went No Six. I think White Stripes might have headlined that one. I think I went in 2010. I think Powderfinger might have headlined that one.
Look at you.
Yeah. So I have seen Guns N' Roses three times, by the way.
yes, you have. I stand corrected.
But I am not a racehorse person. Okay, so I get the feeling in my life, like, okay, I mean this the nicest possible way, but if there was a terror attack at Flemington at, say, Derby Day,
yep.
I would find it hard to be empathetic to the people there. Is that a horrible thing to say?
I think it is. I think as you walked amongst the sea of white suits and faux alligator skin shoes,
yeah, sure,
you would feel a hint of remorse at that comment.
As people with their dying breath take that final Instagram photo, you know, hashtag no filter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as people are getting their wounds washed with Jim Beam and Coke.
Yeah, sure, and flat tummy tea.
Yes, and bottles of yellow champagne. So what you're saying is that you have never been to Broadmeadows via the train is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but also, have you?
Yeah, I grew up on that line. So yes, a lot.
Yeah, but wait a second. But did you get off before Broadmeadows?
I did, but I had mates who... Mate, you can take the boy out of near Broadie, but you can't take the near Broadie out of the boy.
Gotcha. So you and Eddie have a lot in common.
We do, actually.
In that
we
actually you both do. Talk a whole bunch of shit regularly.
How fucking dare you? Well, the reason that we actually bring up this Twitch thing, so Mitch Robinson got himself in a wee bit of trouble this week. Now, it was actually comments made a couple of weeks ago. So Tom Lynch got in trouble for a gut punch on the Gold Coast Sam Collins last week. Mm-hmm. But Mitch Robinson made these comments 2 weeks ago when Alex Witherden got hit in the back of the head by Tom Lynch. And he said, yeah, Tom Lynch, he went to the Richmond Footy Club to go chase a premiership.
Yep.
And then he said he's a wanker. And what I liked is he didn't say flog or muppet as you'd expect from a footballer. But so he said this on his Twitch channel while he was playing maybe, I don't know, Call of Duty. I don't really know those games because I'm an adult. And he got himself into trouble.
So they say here that he actually got severely dressed down by Chris Fagan.
Once he explained to Chris Fagan what a Twitch was, what a Call of Duty was, because Chris Fagan was like, you went on the TV and you abuse him on the 6 o'clock news. He's like, no. I was shooting. You had a gun. No. Fuck. You were killing children. No. Chris, mate, sit down. Let me step you through this.
Oh, I need
I was
to
playing a video game.
I need to put on my favorite music so I can relax. Da 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 da. Matthew Lloyd said that he warned Mitch Robinson he could become a Jason Akermanis. You know, that Brownlow medalist and three-time premiership player. So you don't want to be that.
Ah, fuck no. Because he was saying that this is going to become ammunition for Richmond. That often Alistair Clarkson, because Campbell Brown came out as well and said they've just given him a whole bunch of ammo. They got flogged, not as in you're a flog past tense, but got beaten soundly by Richmond in the qualifying final last year.
Yeah.
Maybe or even a semi. And they said they would use that as ammo. Clarko used to put things in players' lockers. So Clarko would get there like an hour before the players.
Yeah, really?
Put something in your locker, go, mate, so-and-so said you're a fucking hack. And they're like, where did he say that? And he's like, I've been asking him, you know.
That's funny, actually, because I have a vague memory that Dipper got under fire from the press at one stage in his life. And he went into the locker and all the articles from the headline. From the week of headlines, we're in the locker.
So was that to inspire Dipper to be better, or was it people slagging Dipper off, or was it like saying to Dipper, keep your mouth shut?
No, I think it was from the coach kind of saying, you know, people are talking you down, so, you know.
Oh, so this will fire
lift.
You up.
And yeah, lift.
And so once someone read that to Dipper, he was like, well, that's fucking outrage. And what's this Jeff Hook fucking cartoon doing?
And then he looked in the corner of the dimmies and he's like, oh my God, washing brush, $9.99.
He's a good man. But yeah, the, apparently he was saying that you've given ammo, that that's exactly what Richmond want, and it's going to come back to haunt him. And he's saying that's what Acker kind of did. You know, he talked about Nigel Appin having the broken ribs. He went against team rules when he was at Footscray. And so it's coming back. It's going to come back to haunt him.
But can we talk about probably the hottest issue in the AFL right now, Adam? Last year, we were pretty big on the fact that Gary Ablett Jr. was the biggest sniper in the history of the game.
I was expecting to see Gary Ablett in bronze elbowing someone in the head. And you know what they were going to do outside the MCG? And this is what I loved, is they were going to have it at Ablett's elbow. It was going to be at about 5'10". So you could actually walk past while you're talking to a friend, and it would be sort of in amongst the trees, so you wouldn't really see it. And then just pang, you'd be like, fucking hell.
Yeah, for sure. It's like,
fucking, where did that come from?
It's like, you know how like people, you know, take a photo of themselves holding up the Tower of Pisa?
Yes.
So like you go to the MCG and you could
take a photo.
And it looks like Gary Ablett Jr. is sniping you out of the blue. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be lovely. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but some people, and I don't know how they do this, but the Leaning Tower of Pisa, they're holding it up.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
And then also, like, put your finger on the top of the Eiffel Tower or something like that.
Oh, it's great, mate. I love that.
We need to work out, like, an MCG statue version of that, you know? Like, what have they got? Dennis Lilly. They got, like, you should be able to, like, you know, hold up a roll of carpet for carpet call. In a particular position for Dennis Lilly.
Oh, as he's, because I think he's coming into bowl. So if you could get a roll of carpet and tape that to DK Lilly's hands, that would be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, sure. Or you hold up a dart and it's just in Warnie's hand in the statue.
Well, see, I was going to say, if you could replace the ball, so you probably need an angle grinder and a welder for this, but I reckon it's worth it, is to get down there, remove the ball from Warnie's hand and put in a bit of SW23.
The new fragrance, yeah, for
sure. And so as you walked under it, you know those things in the toilets when you come out, it goes, shh. Every time you walk past Warnie's statue, you just get a bit of, you get a bit of SW23 on you.
A Warnie's fragrance. I do feel like the proceeds go to a charity. I'm not totally sure.
It is, which is why it hasn't copped as much heat as it probably should.
Gotcha.
If he did it
without the charity element, it would just be like, you were fucking kidding me. Yeah. Have you ever been to a nightclub and they've had a dude in the toilets offering cologne or hand wash?
That is an excellent question, a cologne-related question without notice. I think I have, but I always leave the house wearing cologne, so I wouldn't layer it, man. I'm not a fool,
dude. I lived in the UK in.
Oh, hang on. Now this probably just happens when you go visit grandmama.
This probably
happened when you came. You go, sir, can I just go to the bathroom? In year 10 English, and then you go out and you'd come back in, and everyone would be like, "Oh, Michael, are you wearing jazz?"
Yeah, sure, but I mean, I'm a smart mark. If when I requested to go to the bathroom to a teacher at a school,
he came with you?
You had to pay the piper. Hey, man, you want to get an A? You get an A.
On your report card, it had excellent at glory hole.
Oh, God, those fucking dirty fucking criminal cunts. I went to uni there like for half a year in 98, and I went to like some nightclub, actually I don't remember where. And there was a dude in the bathrooms, like, you know, cologne, you know, hand wash, whatever.
Mint.
Yeah. And I reckon it was one of the most filthy toilets I've ever been in my entire life. And I was like, fuck, man, like whatever you offer me cannot possibly be any cleaner than anything in this room right now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, what a job.
Anyway,
Tom Lynch, has he taken over the mantle as the greatest sniper in the history of the game? Bearing in mind, he put a hook onto Michael Hurley's throat last night, which wasn't that bad, but we'll build it up. And three incidents in 8 days.
Yeah.
Is he the most disgraceful, horrific, sniperish wanker in the AFL?
Look, I probably would have been you know, umming and ahhing during the week. But the fact that he's gone out there and backed it up time and time again after the week that he's had, he's been called a wanker on Twitch. I mean, if that isn't cause to pull your head in.
I mean, I know the hurt. I know the hurt when you get called out on Twitch.
And so he has gone, you know what? I raise you, you Twitch. I raise you, wanker, on Twitch, and I'll fucking give a little fucking jab to Michael Hurley's throat. And that's gone straight to the tribunal.
I feel a bit bad for Gary Ablett that kind of, you know, he had the title for, you know, barely half a year, and now we've jumped off him. Like, it's like we're looking at the new band or the new dress over there. But
well, I guess that's a part of life, though, isn't it? That, you know, the baton has to be passed on at some point. Gary Ablett, he's had, family issues. He's not been able to get the consistent sniping that he needs to in his game.
Yeah, he obviously, has family issues, and so his head hasn't been on, you know, where should I snipe someone when they're least expecting it? And so, you think about other things.
And so it's probably the right time that the baton is handed on.
Yep.
And Tom Lynch has just grasped it with both, well, with one hand one and with hand the other
and
hand.
Then got the elbow out.
Yeah. And then punched the person who gave him the baton in the gut somehow from behind while he's in front of them accepting the baton. He is a sneaky motherfucker.
For sure. And the only footage is behind the goal is footage.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we salute you, Tom Lynch. Like, you've done a great job, mate. Like,
mate, you're our hero.
Yeah, we look forward to all of the unique and adventurous things you'll do in the future and get away with scot-free.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, too, people have come for Tom Lynch over this past week, and they'll come for him even more now that he's done the Michael Hurley. We are recording this on Sunday afternoon as Brisbane take on St Kilda. A lot of people attacking Tom Lynch, saying he's an idiot. You know, it's not tough. It's not brave, Michael. It's not brave. I say it is brave. I say it's one of the bravest acts you can do on the field, to punch a man while he's not looking in the guts, make him double over. Mm-hmm. Very brave.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big one. You know, people try to rebrand it a coward punch, and I go, no, it's a king hit.
That's a hero punch.
Yeah, that's
to get a man in the guts from behind. That's what makes heroes.
Mention that, okay? Our contribution to society, okay? From now on, junk time. Can we use the word hero punch?
Yeah,
you take someone from behind, or you know, by surprise.
In the guts.
Yeah, yeah. Let's call that a hero punch, okay?
Absolutely. So everyone's come after him. It's particularly, mate, when David Schwartz comes after you, you know you've overstepped the mark, right? This is a man who won millions of dollars on a racetrack and commandeered a bus. This is a man who knows when you've overstepped the mark. And he said that Tom Lynch, and I apologize for the language you're about to hear here, Junk Times, but he said that Tom Lynch was a goose. Now that, when David Schwartz is calling you a goose.
No way. So he did that on the radio show?
Yeah.
No way. And they didn't push the button to beep it?
They mustn't have been in delay.
No way.
They mustn't have, button.
They let that go to air.
Goose.
The word
Sorry,
goose.
I feel horrible saying
it. I'm blushing.
When the ox calls a man a goose.
I need to fan myself, Adam. I can't hear this kind of language. I do believe I'm getting the vapors.
I apologize, Junk Timers, if you are listening to this not through headphones, and you are one of those great people who are in public just listening on your phone, whether it's a YouTube video or you're at the gym and you just got music playing through those tinny little speakers on your phone. We fucking love those people. Yeah. They are the best. And apologies that you had to hear that word. I'm not going to say it again. The G word. I'm not going to say it. That you had to hear us saying that out loud. But he called him that and went after him. And then, geez, this is what I love about Richmond. They don't go hard. They don't, you know, do things by halves when they do things.
No.
The coach, Damien Hardwick, has come back out and attacked the Ox for calling him... Oh, mate, just went him. And he said, if I remember correctly, now this is a club that loves, has embraced people showing their sensitive sides. If men want to have a cry, you fucking have a cry, fellas. If there's anything that you want to talk about, if you've had hardships in your past, talk about it. We will not judge you. We are men and we are allowed to show our feelings.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to win two premierships in 40 years, go for it, you know?
Yeah, except... You happened to be playing against Damien Hardwick in a grand final in 2000 and Dimmer's memory of it is that you bawled your eyes out 20 minutes into the game. He may bring that up a little bit down the track as a reference that you are not of solid character.
Now, where do you think he came up with that? So, talking about the Essendon-Melbourne grand final, would have to go back on AFL tables and find out kind of what the scores were at quarter time. I imagine it wasn't a blowout for immediately. Essendon won by 10 goals. But do you think he actually genuinely thinks that David Schwartz was crying 20 minutes into the game?
I mean, to come out and say that, because you wouldn't say it like, oh, you know, at the end of the game, you could understand if someone was crying, they were upset that they lost.
Yeah.
But to be 20 minutes in, that's to cast some serious aspersions on this man's strength of his mental strength, to say that, you know, he saw another goal go through. And I haven't seen the behind the goals vision. Maybe there is vision of a trainer running out some tissues to Ox as another goal went through and he went, this could be my last fucking chance. You know, I've had that many knee reconstructions. We may not win a grand final. And it all just overwhelmed him, Michael, and he just burst into tears. And Dimmer remembered that and went, I'm not going to say anything now, but I'll tell you what, if he gets a radio show, gets sacked from it, gets another radio show, happens to call a player after two premierships that I've coached, a guy who's been repeatedly sniping someone, if he calls that man a goose, I have stored this away.
It's locked and loaded. fuck, man. I mean, so I reckon something has happened between those two.
Yeah.
That required that whack back. Because I don't think he'd get too excited about it if... But also, like, what kind of fucking journo is there going, hey, Dimmer, David Schwartz said on a radio show today that Tom Lynch is a goose. What do you reckon about that? Like, what are you asking? Like, why are you questioning that?
Well, I think probably because a lot of people were saying that Tom Lynch...
I mean, that language, dare I say it, the G word.
Yeah, whoa, were you asking this in a press conference?
There are women here, good sir.
It's good to have Dimmer. It's good to have Dimmer behind you, man, and not Tom Lynch giving you a fucking hero punch in the guts.
So we got a few more COVID stuff this week. So a couple of Port players.
So this is an interesting one. So the Port Adelaide and everyone. So Port Adelaide players Dan Houston and Peter Laddams had been handed 2 and 3 match bans respectively. So they're in South Australia, so they're living under slightly different rules because everyone was saying, why weren't they suspended for the rest of the season like Elijah Taylor was for the Swans in Perth? But Elijah Taylor broke WA laws
The
police were involved. These two broke AFL rules and not the laws of South Australia. They are allowed to have, if you're South Australian and you've got a mate who's got some fruit chocks and like a Farmers Union iced coffee wants to come over, that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I think that's actually a very good point to make, Adam, by the fact that, you know, in these COVID times, and I think I might be the first person to ever say these strange times.
Would you say, hang on, what sort of precedented are they?
I think they could be unprecedented times. Okay, yeah, I'm not totally sure about that. But
you're going out on a limb.
But I think it's a good point to make by the fact that, you know, sometimes people are breaking the law and then sometimes people are breaking the AFL law.
Yep.
Now, obviously, the AFL law is much more serious because if you don't...
It's the law of the land.
If you get the AFL Black Ops involved, then you're in big fucking trouble.
Do you reckon they would have been hovering above the house, the AFL chopper, just above the house with the infrared going, mate, there's civilians in that fucking house.
Yeah, sure. It was their version of SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But also, I think there was a bit of stuff during the week about Elijah Taylor, is that right? Yeah. I think his partner was disputing kind of the news that, you know, she ran across the golf course and climbed two fences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it might have played out as it was initially reported.
Which is disappointing, because that was a pretty fucking good story.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, it may be right, may be wrong, but I am so fucking tired of AFL media fucking just going with whatever and then going, I won't have any repercussions to that. Like, do you find that? How they all just want to be fucking first?
Mate,
am I going to have
rant.
To fucking rant right now?
Yes, please.
A for fucking media. Don't take fucking holidays during fucking your radio fucking holidays. Fucking stay on air. And fucking A for fucking journos. Fucking doing fucking... They just fucking go first. They go, oh, I'll go first. And then, like, there's no repercussion for being wrong. It's a fucking disgrace. Just wait. Get the fucking right story. Or I'm looking at you, Tom Brown, okay? I'm looking at you, Tom Brown. I'm looking at you. But no, but don't you find that? They just fucking want to be first on Twitter. Also, it's on Twitter. It's not on a fucking publication. Like, it's on their fucking, like, their fucking Twitter account. They go, yeah, I'm a fucking newsbreaker. I can be a fucking newsbreaker on my fucking Twitter account too. If I was never fucking right.
Mate, that run-in was longer than Shoaib Akhtar. That was fucking, you have come in. I love it. I love Chambo on a rant.
Anyway,
this is great. But
fucking,
you, all right.
Just fucking wait half an hour and get it right. Get it right.
I reckon Tom Brown is right. Like, at least.
And
at
it's
least
not.
One
and, and it's not just Tom Brown, too. Like, it's a whole bunch of fucking assholes.
No, they all go. It would be. You know what would be really interesting is if someone collated everything they said as they said it.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And then read it out, like, you know, grand final week. That would be a great grand final marathon to go, oh, let's see what they said was happening that didn't. And then just read them out. That would be a fucking great read.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah.
And brilliant idea. And we have trademarked that and copyrighted it right here on Junk Time. So nobody do that.
Yeah, we'll do it on Twitch.
Yes, that's right. So. They went to a party at Peter Laddam's house. So I'm thinking that Dan Houston went over there, which he's allowed to do, I think, because they're teammates and he's allowed. But the interesting thing is that Peter Laddam's, Port Adelaide player, lives with Billy Frampton, former Port Adelaide, now an Adelaide player. Mm-hmm. They had other people come into the house. And Billy Frampton, so he didn't get in any trouble because he stayed in his room while the party was happening out there. So he's got training the next day. He's hearing this party out of his bedroom. It's like he's fucking 6 years old. He's going, I really want to go to that party.
It's like when
I can't get busted.
It's like when your parents had people over and you're kind of like, and you kind of really didn't understand the conversation because they were talking about, you know, adult things. And
yeah, like someone you heard someone use the word goose and you're like, oh,
it's getting blue in here in the Chamberlain household. And also, like, you know,
it's interesting that James Brayshaw and Durham were over at your mum's place, but that's okay.
But also, like, you know, adults, they're having adult time. They don't want little kid hanging around, you know. And so they're part of them is like, you know, fuck off, little kid. So like he just went to the room, kind of, you know, almost listened to people having fun times.
But also too, like, he's got training the next day, so it's pretty shit that, you know, when you're in a shared house and your mates having a party and you're like,
yeah, sure,
fucking low dog, mate. I got to go to work tomorrow. You know I can hear you. This fucking, the walls are paper thin. I've heard you having sex, mate. You know I can hear your conversation,
dude. I tell you what. This fucking idiot. So I did gigs in Sydney years ago.
And, all right, Mr. Traveller.
Like literally years ago. And I had a mate who I crashed at his place for a night.
Yep.
You know him. I won't name his name, but good bloke, terrific bloke, fantastic bloke. And he was living with a couple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so the couple brought...
Oh, hang on. So he's living with a couple and he's allowed you to stay at his place. So he's brought you into the three.
Yep, but he gave me his bed. I feel like he might have gone away for a gig himself.
So you replaced him in the house. Did you know the couple?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
I think I might have just been there for one night.
Still, if I'm the couple, don't like you in my house. Continue.
Yeah, okay. Well... Okay, I'll go a bit further and we can work it out. It's a long time ago, so I'm a bit vague. He might have been there. Maybe there was a spare room he went to. I feel like he went to a spare room.
Okay.
And I took his bed. Okay? But anyway, right. I'll check the records. I'll check. I'll talk to the courts.
Please.
So the couple brought back people, which was fine. I was like, that, you know, I'm in bed. I'm, you know, it's midnight, whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, fucking they're home, you know, they can do whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
all good,
oh, yeah.
No drama, happy, fine,
totally.
Perfect. The lady in the couple, she got a dog treat. And I don't know if I'd met her. I think I might have met her as like a bit of a hello, you know.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't know her?
No, but I think I'd met her just before.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Like a, you know, how you doing, you know, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She got a dog treat and kind of pushed it under the door. And so the dog was ramming the door trying to get at the treat.
Oh, yeah.
And so after, like, waking up and kind of realizing what was going on, I opened the door and let the dog get the treat, and then he ran away.
Yeah.
And she did it on purpose to fuck with me. She knew the dog was going to ram the door with its head to get at the dog treat.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to suggest that she is a goose. And you know me, I don't use that word very often.
No, that is very true. And then when they came home the next day after you'd gone and found that dog strung up.
Dude. Because I think the next morning she referenced
it. So that must have explained that to you.
I think the next morning she referenced it and then kind of explained that, yeah, she'd pushed the thing under the door. It was like, you know, 3 inches and the dog's tongue couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's one of the weirdest things anyone has ever done. And also weirdly vindictive for someone that you've never really met or, and is really just in a room. Anyway. Life. Okay, life.
Mate, that's the shit. That's the kind of stuff that people don't know about, the things that happen. Because usually what happens on tour stays on tour. But Michael has just broken those rules.
Can we talk about how Hawthorn is the greatest team in the competition and received no free kicks in a half of football? That is fucking remarkable.
Now, you guys are 15th. Which bears no relevance to this story, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, sure. I
that is unbelievable. The fact that you don't get...
We're pretty happy with that at this stage. Like, we're kind of like, show a bit, but don't win.
Yes. Yeah, actually pushed Port Adelaide last night.
Yeah, so
it wasn't the worst result.
No, we could have pinched it, yeah. But the umpires obviously cheated us out of those 10 points by the fact that they did not give us a free kick and a half of football. I think my dad's 80. I reckon you could go back to every game that he's ever seen. I don't think you've ever seen a team not get a free kick and a half.
No, I saw a stat. It happened in about 2004 or 5, I believe.
Fake news, okay. I have said it. Therefore, it's true. Don't be the goose. It has never happened in the history of the game. Yeah. If it hasn't happened on AFL tables, then it hasn't happened.
It's very strange that you wouldn't get at least one high, one chopping the arms, at least something that just goes one in a half. Even in one quarter, you're like, oh, that felt a bit lopsided. But to be a whole half, like the umpires, it hasn't, ever since Clarko spoke, it really hasn't worked in Hawthorn's favour. Even though it's completely changed the game, it hasn't worked in, you know, the free kick Hawthorn kind of...
But don't you find it funny too that there was genuinely a meme for like 4 years, the free kick Hawthorn?
Yes,
And now it's like... but having said that, I'm only joking. I'm only mucking around. I'm only being a goose. But having said that, you fucking umpires watch yourself, alright? I know where you live. I know where you work. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, and he's going to shove a little dog treat under the door, just out of reach.
Hey, we were talking about earlier, how's the MCC membership coming along, Adam? Because you can't be too far from being a member. I know you make fun of me for being a member.
When?
Yeah. But they've cut the rate this year by a third.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I read somewhere that they're losing a shit ton of cash, the MCC, this season.
They are hand over fist, man, because they've got nothing in there for the whole year. Like, it's basically locked up. Like, I mean, there's so much foie gras in the fridge.
It's gone off.
I mean, I tell you what. I mean, they've been trying to save the champagne. It's all corked.
Fucking hell.
I mean, you haven't seen that much roasted pigeon. but they... they cut the rate by a third, so I think this year I'm about $313 something, which I thought was pretty good of them. By the fact they go, like, they've given you a year of nothing, and cut the rate, you know. But that would be
one of the only kind of entities where no one would be saying I'm not paying this year because you want to carry it over to next year. Like, I think AFL clubs gave members the option to. Say, I want my membership money back. Yep. Did the MCC offer you that?
That's a very good question. I feel like this year they've offered like payment, like usually you had to pay in one hit, and they've offered like, you know, like a 3-tier payment of like every 2 months or so.
Yeah, okay.
And then I feel like they might have brought in a, I might be talking shit, I might be being a goose, but I feel like they might have brought in like, if you want a year off, we're cool with that, and you get back on.
And well, because you never know, like if your beachside property may, the renters there, have had to halve their rent. You know, they might be struggling down at Portsea on the back beach.
No, you're right. That was another thing that they said, that you can pay kind of half now, but you have to give up your tickets for the polo in January.
Oh, fuck, that's brutal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, times are tough. And in these in these strange times, you need to... Hey, can we very quickly backtrack and then we'll get on to your thing. Final play, pretty much, of the Port Hawks. Ruckman Butters going down... No, Hayes. Ruckman Hayes going down to Butters for that final goal. How much reminiscent of the Nick Davis goal in that 2005 semi-final?
I actually tweeted that yesterday. I said that I think that's the best set play I have seen since the Nick Davis goal. So it was Scott Lysette, and he actually let the ball drop. So the ruckman, the poor players cleared a space for Butters to run into, but Lysette waited until it was at like hip height and just sort of palmed it forward to Butters, and it was an he came through. How fast was he going?
He did. I watched the replay about 15 times, I reckon, and Butters kind of, I suppose, spotted an opening by the fact there were a Port and Hawk in front of him, and there was a Hawk beside him, and so he did a bit of a U-turn, right-hand turn, and so the Hawk got caught behind the Hawk and Port player.
Was the Hawk ball watching?
I think he was kind of almost watching the player in front of him. It was incredible. It was like one of those kind of things where you go, when ruckman actually make a difference, like, it's a big fucking deal.
And it was a beautiful set play. And it was unbelievable.
And that's why they're kind of few and far between. Like, when they actually really do, you know, make an impact.
Yeah. Got a goal and pretty much sealed the game for Port.
Yeah, won it for them.
I did tweet that and just said that's the best since then. And then someone said, what about this one? There was Robbie Gray and Paddy Ryder last year when they were at Port Adelaide. Ryder has tapped it over the back, Robbie Gray ran onto it and kicked a goal from like 45 out. And it was majestic to watch. It's a really great part of our game when it actually happens the way it should.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think in the grand final the week after, in 05, Sydney got a goal of pretty much the same play. So, you know, they weren't mucking around, you know.
Oh, they didn't.
And then, dude, like, fuck, man. Like, and this could have fucking made something massive. But Nick Nat, at the beginning of the 2015 grand final, he gets it out of the ruck, has a shot for goal. Within about 5 seconds, the Eagles could have had a goal, but it bounced and he got a point, like, it got touched. And it's like, can you imagine a ruckman grabbing it out of the ruck, pretty much, and kicking a goal from the square within the first 5 seconds of a grand final?
It would have been great because it would have possibly meant that the three-peat didn't quite get there.
But it would have changed the whole momentum of it. Like, it would have been the whole, like, get a goal in the first fucking 5 seconds, you go, yep, we're on. We're going.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
No, dude. Anyway.
But it still may not have changed the fact that Adam Simpson didn't send anyone to Sua Rioli and let him just run free and kick goal after goal. But, you know, who knows?
Where you at? Where you at? So how many years until you were a member and then therefore you'd never get to make fun of me ever again?
Well, see, it doesn't say how long you've got to wait, which is the disappointing thing. It should say, like, I should get, whenever there's an in memoriam, I should get a little bit of not a celebratory email, but just a little bit of like, hey, Rosie, just on the QT.
You one step closer.
Yeah, exactly. Old fucking bug lugs from such and such in East Hawthorne has fucking fallen off the ledge. And I'll be like, oh, sorry. And you know what they should do? For people who are waiting, you know, members in waiting, I should have to send flowers. So when like a guy who's like 96 passes away and people are like, fucking hell, I've got like 8,000 flowers.
Yeah, sure.
And that's because we show our appreciation for their deaths.
Or maybe you can kind of get a bit more proactive about it and kind of, you know, maybe track down someone with a little bit of the old COVID-19. And you're just like, hey, I'm just looking at the address here. There's a there's a 95-year-old. Want to go over there and just cough a little?
Here's what I do. So I say that we need to have a meeting of all MCC members, and I get them down and I go, come on down. And I go, there's a lovely hotel in Swanson Street called Ridges. Come on down. Security will help you find your seats. I go, they don't need masks. Come on in, fellas. Uh-huh. Come on in, everybody. Just come on in.
Sure.
Have a seat. You know, no, I know they're not 1.5 metres apart, but we need to fit you all in here. And then I kind of shut the doors, turn the aircon off, and just have a really lovely meeting. I provide snacks for everybody. And then within a week, Rosie's got his little fucking MCC membership.
And you give them a little bit of a performance and you say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome some of the dancers from the Masked Singer.
Brilliant. And then all of a sudden, Rosie and Chamber are swanning into the MCC for the grand final next year. I tell you what, though, the first day when you see me coming in a fucking polo and I've got my collar popped and I'm like, Chamber, and you'd be like, oh, fuck, not this fucking idiot.
There goes the neighbourhood.
And I got my fucking diesel shoes on. You're going to be like, oh, God, he's fucking got in here. Because I actually bought a wardrobe from when I first got signed up and I don't think it will have dated at all. I've got my industry pop collar fucking polo ready to roll.
Nah, mate, you're fucking Ed Hardy jeans are fucking fantastic.
Do people, are you allowed to wear white jeans into the MCC? What's the ruling on that?
Yeah, allowed to wear white. I think they're not allowed to be ripped, but I think they're not allowed to be ripped.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're definitely not ripped.
Yeah.
They've been sitting in storage for fucking 16 years.
Ed Hardy, remember that? Oh, dude.
Oh, love a good Ed Hardy. You know what? You know what was the demise of Ed Hardy? And I've never spoken to anyone about this, but I'd say not enough glitter. Like if they had gone harder with glitter, I think Ed Hardy still exists. And people who may be heading to King Tut's putt-putt could tell us, I think Ed Hardy is alive and well on the Goldie.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I know he's a friend of the show, but I reckon The Wiz would have a fucking wardrobe full of Ed Hardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ready to go at a second.
And not old stuff. I did a gig up on the
and
Goldie.
And not ironically. This is only,
No. I did a gig up in the Goldie. It was within the last 5 years. So it wasn't like in the height of Ed Hardy era. And I was at a bar downstairs underneath the hotel I was staying at. And I'd gotten in there about 5 o'clock and I was having a drink before I went to a gig. And it had ticked over past 6 o'clock. And the bouncer came over to me and he said, mate, you're going to have to leave or take your hat off. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you can't wear hats in here. And I was like, there are people over there wearing Ed Hardy glitter tops. And he's like, mate, you got to take your hat off or get out. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not sitting here with hat hair. I'll leave. So I left.
Yeah, sure. But that's security so they can see your head.
But fucking, it's just a cap. What if I wore it backwards? I mean, aside from being really cool, could I stay in then?
And in theory, you could. Like, they'd need to see your face. So, in theory, you could.
What if I'm a lady who's just come home from the races and I've got a fascinator on? Do I have to take that off? That's fucking bullshit.
No, because you went to the races, therefore you're a horrible person. Football in some real life, man?
Please.
From Chris. I was down at Moore Park Golf Club for a cheeky 18 holes in Sydney. For a cheeky 18 holes to escape the home COVID lockdown prison. For $69 a round.
Wow, that's that ain't cheap.
Where you don't get to finish a round before the sunset. I'm doing very well. Do you know, what does golf cost? I haven't played for 25 years.
Depending on where you go, some of the courses that I go to, you're looking at around $20 for nine.
Yeah, I'd feel a bit, paying more than 20 for a round, I'd be a bit annoyed.
But is Moore Park, is that a public golf course? Because if it's a private, then I understand the cost of those rounds.
Yeah, sure. Moore Park, so basically right near the SCG.
Yes, and you're kind of heading, you're eastern suburbs there, so I'm going to say it's a private course.
I'm looking at it now, and it's a public.
Public, oh, there you go.
One of the best public in Sydney, yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, that explains the $70. And I imagine that, you know, you're in the inner city. If you haven't quite gotten to the level of being private course, then you head down there and you feel good about yourself. 18 holes is a lot. Look, like, it's got to be a good course to be 18, I would have thought.
We should do a golf podcast.
Absolutely, we should.
A man in black Nike shoes, black track pants, black Nike hoodie with a Mac Black finish helmet, safety first, on an electric black bicycle arrived at the beer garden in front of the putting green. Standing out from the usual colourful Sydney golf fashion, I was intrigued to what this hooligan of a bloke was doing at Moorpark Golf. Lo and behold, it was Toby Green.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, his mates had Auskick clothes on, so they must have just finished a kid's session in the morning. They quickly bought him a beer, cricketer's arms, good cross collaboration of sports.
Absolutely.
He kept his hoodie up, showing he didn't want to be seen.
Tobes, get your face out there, mate. The people love you.
Clearly taking the short game turnaround recovery seriously by riding an electric bike. Got to look after those hammies in 2020 before karate classes. sunk a few beers to the boys before my team time was called. He wasn't in any bushes or the toilets when I finished my round, so hopefully he was somewhat responsible and didn't ride home on the motorised bike.
Oh, there you go. Toby Green in real life.
Do you feel like the public opinion is turning around a bit for Toby?
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. I do. Mm. I don't think he's not as hated as he once was. And I think, too, he's not kicking people in the face as often as he once did, or
like grabbing for eyes like 2 weeks in a row in finals.
Well, that was only last year. So that is, he has turned that around quite quickly.
Yeah. I think he's one of those dudes where, you know, sometimes like there's like a personality in the media and people go, I don't like them. And then they kind of go, oh, you know what? They're actually being honest, you know?
I think he's not the worst bloke.
Toby's kind of one of those players where you kind of go, you know, he's having a go.
He's just having a go. He occasionally gets in a punch on at a nightclub, hits on with a crutch. But who hasn't? You know, we've all been there.
From Kyle. I moved up to the Gold Coast this year from Tasmania on a mission set by Peter Hudson to find the goalposts that have gone missing from the Apple Isle. I was surprised not to see any AFL players in the last couple of months with clubs moving into Gold Coast hubs. But like Gary Ablett Jr. in the Tribunal last season, the sightings have been flooding in recently. Organic Cafe, BSKT, is in Mermaid Beach, is proving a popular spot with players. My girlfriend spotted a spot of Gold Coast Suns players. After going through the player profile, she could identify. This is what I actually do quite like about people in hubs looking for things. You spot people and you go, I reckon they're footballers.
Yeah.
Let me look up the internet because they're not footballers that I recognise. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
They
play for North Melbourne. They play for the Suns. Like, there are just a few teams where you go, I feel like I might know one or two of you, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
She could identify David Swallow. Oh, he's very dreamy guy. Yeah. From the group of generic-looking footballers. There we go, just like I said. I wasn't there, but it was alleged the group of men were disgruntled because they were not being served on a table outside the venue at around 2:45 p.m., 15 minutes before the cafe shut.
I can understand.
When a staff member told the men they could go inside to order their drinks, but no food, because it was almost closing time, they were allegedly not happy.
I can understand that.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? When like a cafe is shutting at like, you know, 3 o'clock and you're there at 2:50 and you go,
Well, they can't expect food. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, they've already started the cleanup process. Oh, I'm on the cafe side here. Sorry, Suns. BKST in Mermaid Beach. If Michael and I are ever up there, we are influencers of the highest regard, and we would love a free meal and we'll give you a shout out.
I mean, we could use that power. I mean, should we run a campaign? Shut it down.
If I hear one more indiscretion from BSKT, they won't be shutting at 3 o'clock. They'll be shutting permanently.
We'll just run a campaign. Shut down like an innocent cafe.
Just out of the blue.
A few days later, I ran past the same cafe at around 8 a.m. on a Sunday and saw a group of men waiting for their orders in board shorts and carrying white and blue towels, which looked like they'd taken from a hotel. From the group of five men, I could identify fellow Tasmanian Toby Nankevis, towering over the group, and the mullet of Liam Baker. In the last fortnight, I've spotted former St Kilda great Barry Hall numerous times around the Burleigh area. He's always polite to the public that recognise him.
Oh, there you go.
That's really nice of him. Yeah. And I imagine if you walk by Barry Hall and you're not polite, then you're probably in trouble. And thank you for that email, Kyle. And you scored yourself a double pass to King Tut's Putt-Putt on
absolutely.
The Gold Coast.
They're on board the Junk Time Express, and you get yourself, I think it could even be the whole 482 holes. I'm not sure. But get down there and putt your ass off, Kyle. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you. King Tut's Putt-Putt have got on board, and we are handing out a double pass to anyone who can send in a football in real life from the Goldie.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, so yeah, that's fucking huge. Fuck, man, we got to do a live show from we should do a live show from King Tut's Pondo.
That's mate. A great idea. We probably won't get many people, but we'll still do it anyway.
From Toby, just down at a local cafe in Joondalup, Perth, with my fiance and son. In brackets, I'm doing very well. And who should I see but a group of six Swans players buying coffees at Paper Avenue Cafe. I'm a Freo supporter, so I only recognise a few, but in the group were Jake Lloyd, Tom Papel and Luke Parker. So one of the players put his hands right down his pants and give his balls a good scratch. The group posed for a photo with another family before eating off their coffees. That's cool. That's nice.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? I wonder if Tom Papley fucking fell over for no reason in the cafe.
Yeah, fucking dirty cheater. From Kathy, a few days ago, I took my dog for a walk at the local park. Passed two women with a beagle. Aw, I had a beagle when I was a kid.
Did you?
Little Toby.
What happened to him?
Little Toby.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
Had a quick chat in passing.
What happened to Toby, mate?
Died of bone cancer. Let's move on. Had a quick chat in passing, and I thought they looked familiar. Then I worked out they were none other than the captain of the Brisbane Lions, Emma Zilke, owner of the beagle, and Emma Bates, owner of the car.
Nice. I like that you know that the owner of the car. I did a license plate check, and it checks out.
Yeah, we've got a couple of Brisbane legends there, yeah. From Paul, not really footballers in real life. However, I was down at Scarborough Beach in Perth today and saw Adam's pals, the Hell's Angels.
Oh, nice. I always go up and say g'day. They love a chat if you see the Hell's Angels out in public. Just go up, say, you know, Rosie, and the fun times will flow.
They love a stranger asking questions.
Yeah. Who do you know? Who do you know back? Do you guys listen to, do you reckon they listen to podcasts?
Dude, there should be a Hell's Angels podcast.
Fuck, man.
Oh, yeah, g'day. It's Biker Dave here. Come to you. check out our Patreon. $5. You don't get your fucking angle grind, your tattoo off. $10 to get a bag of meth for Christmas.
That was Michael Chamberlain talking then.
Oh, they are deplorable people. We're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Off a Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram.
And Twitch.
And Twitch, yeah.
Go. Go Blues.
Being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.